Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
A breeze became a wind. A wind my brothers have sacrificed. A wind of freedom. A wind of justice.
You've come a long way to stroke your cock whilst watching real men train.
Welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Sequel, this movie podcast where we typically do it in two parts, but this is a special, special episode, and we had to do a sequel that fit what this episode is. It's our 300th episode, which is pretty darn exciting, and for it, we're covering the sequel to 300. Do you remember the name of the movie?
Rise of the Empire.
Rise of the Empire. That was the voice of Jamie. This movie had us. There were so many things. There was like not much dialogue, lots of action, lots of blood, boobs. And then also we got like some really weird lines, which we'll go over. But number 300, this special occasion. Audience? This audience is not cooperating right now. It should be clapping. Oh, maybe I'll add that clapping in later. If not, think about clapping and it'll come through. Before I talk about just the craziness that is this movie, I got to introduce you to my partner in this sequel watching journey, Jamie Riccardi. Jamie, how are you?
I'm doing good, Doug. How are you doing?
I'm great. This is quite the milestone. Number 300. It's so crazy when you look back, like, man, it's insane. Almost 5 years of doing, you know, during the writer's strike, and the actor strike, we were doing sequel after sequel, back to back to back, but typically just meeting with you two nights every month. And, it's been so much fun, and we still have a lot more to do.
300, man. That is incredible. And I think that's who knows? I mean, you know, you look back where we started, no video, sound was awful, you know, like, you know, coming to where we are now. And like, I mean, we got some iconic people over the years. I mean, it really is. I mean, and I'm going to say, and I think I probably said the same thing last year, is every single person that we've gotten has been like just so humble. Like they were just been so like, you know, you hear these stories of like these people, you know, in the business that just, you know, attitudes and all that. I haven't come across anybody except for one that, you know, we'll get him eventually, maybe.
Yeah, one day we'll get you Terry Kaiser. I think it was just his manager that was like that. And Bobby, Revenge of the Nerds.
Well, and also, what's his name from Lasby? George Lasby.
George Lasby, his guy, yeah. Nah.
Yeah, I mean, we're running out of time. I mean, he's got to be like 80-something years old. So,
So next week we're gonna do a 300 episode. We're gonna do like a year in review. So a little bit at that time, we'll go back and look at not every episode, but talk about some of the early ones that we did. And like Jamie said, like you never know when you start this how long it's gonna be. But once you get into it, man, we're having so much fun. What were you saying?
So you know, with this movie, I gotta be honest, I was excited. You know, like I mean,
I love the first movie.
You know, and I never saw this movie. However, I felt like watching this movie was torture. I found it to be complete torture. It felt like it was the longest movie that you know what it is? If they took out all the slow motion scenes, the movie would be 20 minutes long.
Oh, I agree.
You know,
I enjoyed some of that part, but the thing for me was there was, again, they were able to do enough dialogue to let us know what was happening and all the interactions, but it just didn't seem like, I don't know, it just seemed, and there wasn't that many characters that spoke. I think five people spoke in the entire movie.
And that's including a narrator. So, I mean, you know, and honestly, I really don't know what's going on in the movie. Like, I don't understand the full plot It was hard to hear a lot of the dialogue because of the sound effects and music in the background. And like, it was honestly like a hard movie to watch for me. And I stopped it a few times. And you know, the slow motion in the first 300, you know, it was like something you'd never seen before. And it was great. Like, it worked. Here's an example of, you know, trying to take what you have in the first movie and then just overdoing it. I mean, like, slow motion falling into the ocean. They were like slowly drowning, and that was in slow motion. Like they used the slow motion for like every little scene, and it was just like such overkill that it was just, I don't know. It was, and the CGI was like, the blood was so ridiculous.
Yeah, you know what it was? I was going to say the same thing, and it was funny because the actress was in both. Eva yep. Green, which we see a lot of Eva Green in this movie a few times,
yeah, oh yeah.
And another girl's another a couple times. But the parallels between this and Sin City, because I think she was in the sequel of Sin City.
It was
that. Like, the blood was very, like, cartoonish and, like, gray, because that was the tones of the movies at times. But I didn't even think of that, like, thinking, oh, this looks bad. I was just like, oh, this is what they're going for? Because it reminded me of Sin City. Like, I don't know who the cinematographer or the special effects company, but it looked the same. Even the lightning bolts, the dark sky.
Yes.
Like, it gave me that vibe.
Well, I mean, it gives you like a comic book vibe, right? I mean, like, the first 300 is like Braveheart. It's just like, it just fighting and action and arms chopped off, and they look good. Here, it looked like a comic book that they were just going through, and I don't know. It was, you know, even the characters. I mean, like, the whole story of the God King. I mean, like, we're gonna get into that, which is, I think, ridiculous. Then you have Gollum somehow shows up in this movie. You know,
the hunchback
to him. He looked exactly like Gollum. Like, it was just ridiculous. Like, you know, it just, I don't know. The plot, I'm like, kind of, it was confusing. It was just, I don't know.
Because you know what? Here's the question. I'm not a history major. And I thought it was pretty good at history, but I don't remember much of this. All I know is a lot of times when I look up the trailers of these movies, the comments are like, oh, this movie rules, or this one sucks. This one had so much love. And a few people are like, oh, it's not historically accurate. And it's like, who really cares? It's not like we're talking about a movie about something that happened in 20 years that most people know. Like, hey, whoever wrote this stuff down is the person that decided it. So they could have been like, only 5 people died today, Bob. It's like, 5 doesn't sound sexy. 5,000 people died. It's like, people read that, it's like a tragedy. But some of those scenes, like, if it even came close to happening that way, the Navy battles with all the ships, dude, why are they fighting? Like, what is the purpose of
that's,
it? Nobody
that's
kidnapped.
I mean, the movie jumps around so much from the past to the present to what's going on now. Like, you get confused. I mean, there's one scene where he's having sex with Eva Green, and then he's waking up on a beach. And like, I didn't know where we were, like, what was going on. Then you see Leonardis from the first movie. And like, so it just, like, there was no explanation of what's going on. So, like I said, why are they fighting? I don't know. And it was just, and I mean, he asked the Romans for help multiple times. He got turned down, and then he walks away. Like, you know, until, like, it was just very weird. Some of the fighting was good. And then you get, like, stuff where a guy jumping off a cliff and he lands on a boat.
Oh, like, that was great. That was, like, something that Jason Statham would do.
Correct.
Like, in Mechanic 2. You know, yeah, it was insane.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I don't know what, it was hard. Like, and I honestly feel like there was more talk than there was action. Like, they had these, like, long dialogues that would, like, speeches, like, you know, motivational speakers. And then the action was, like, a couple minutes long. Like, I feel like it needed, like, 300. Once you get past the beginning, once they get out there, it's nonstop. I mean, like, it's like one wave after another. And this movie just, I don't know, just, you know what is also, and I think this is a big part of it. When you take 300 and you watch it again, these guys are huge. They're ripped. I mean, granted, you know, they have the spray painted abs and all that chronic crap. But you look at the guys in this movie, they're all small. Like, they're skinny. Yeah. Like, they're like, they're not intimidating, you know? And I think that's part of it. Like, it just, I don't know. It feels like it's too, I don't know. I don't know.
No, they tried to make an underdog story, because Sparta which it's so funny. Like the first movie, you see red. This one, it's blue because they're Athens. So they want the Spartan army to help and they don't want to. So all those guys are like farmers. Like even the main guy, Thermicles, right? Is that what it is? Something like
don't,
that?
Don't even ask me to pronounce any of
them. I'll call him Therm. That's easy. So like Therm, he is like a farmer, but he's a really jacked farmer that knows how to do a lot of stuff because he knows the plans. He has like this vision of like you don't accent. You're not a farmer and then a general at night. Like you know you're not a general on the weekends. Like hey, you know what? We should fight there. You know we should stop him over there. I gotta go back to my crops on Monday. Like that's what this guy was essentially doing, which was like
no, of
that
course.
Was kind of ridiculous.
Well, look at his speech in the beginning of the movie. The people that were surrounded by him, they were all like old and out of shape. Like there wasn't like it was just yeah. And you know it's funny. The you know like when you look at them like in the beginning of a scene, you know again they're all ripped. You can see like the apex and you're, and then as the fight goes on, their apex are slowly gone. I guess the makeup is like leaving because literally like they look very different. From the beginning of like the battle to like the end, it's like, you know, all the makeup that they had, you know, is gone. I was laughing, you know, I was like, you know, all right, so obviously the budget for this movie is not the same as the first one. And there's tons of slow motion. What if like they didn't have the budget enough for like the slow motion cameras and they told the guys, all right, everybody has to move. Everybody has to move in slow motion for all these scenes.
You think back to your acting school, method acting. You're in molasses.
Because, literally, every scene has a slow motion scene. Like, every whatever's going on, and then it's another slow motion scene. And it's, like, it's ridiculous. And
it's like you said, it's what they did then. It was the slow motion to the speed up, back to the slow motion. Like, when they jumped off the cliff onto the boat, which like, 200 yards down, which they'd be dead. And he's doing that super fast and super slow. Yeah.
Like I said, even falling in the water when there's an explosion, they're drowning in slow motion. Like it was just like they just threw in slow motion like every couple of minutes. They're like, all right, you know, we're due for another slow motion. And they did that. The other thing I was going to say, and this goes on throughout the whole movie, their aim with a spear and arrow is ridiculous. Because, you know, it's not like, you know, I mean, when you watch the Olympics, you know, they're a decent, you know, space from the target and where they're aiming for. They're on a ship in the middle of the ocean shooting how many miles away and they land exactly where they need to land. Like, you know, it just, their aim is crazy. And I wonder if back then, were they that good? Like, were they that good with arrows? Or was it all luck? Like if you shoot up in the air and you're hoping it's gonna land on someone.
And there was no TV, there was no entertainment. That's all they did. They shot arrows. That was their hobby. Hey, what are you gonna do today? I don't know. I was gonna look at the sky or shoot an arrow. Oh, shoot an arrow, and then that's how they got better. But no, that perfect for the start of the movie. Which again, it's gonna be not hard to talk about this movie. It's gonna be more like there's not too much goes on. It's like you said, dialogue, like a long fight, long dialogue, a little fight. So right at the beginning, we get Therm and there's like a battle going on because we get right into the movie and we get Lena Headey like in a flashback, which is so cool that she came back to this movie. Not saying she's at the point like because Game of Thrones started in 2011. So, yeah, maybe it was in her contract that she had to do the sequel. But it's cool that she came back and she's awesome.
Absolutely.
She's so great.
And she's narrating the whole thing. I mean, she's such a badass. So, well, I was surprised at how badass she does become later on. Like it's ridiculous. Yeah. It starts off, you know, kind of like a mini flashback, I guess. And then it goes right into a battle right away, like as she's narrating. And I mean, again, it's the battle, like it started off good. So I'm like, all right, if the rest of the movie is going to be like this, it's going to be pretty cool. I mean, there's a part in here where a horse stomps on a guy's face.
Yeah, like, the horse that has like, a lightning bolt in the there's a lightning bolt in the horse's eye and a reflection from the sky.
So it was cool. But here's a question I have. These guys don't believe in armor. Like, you know, they go into battle, right? And not for nothing, the armor saved this guy's life because the arrow hit him in the helmet, right? So clearly
that was insane, that part.
So what does he do? He takes his helmet off afterwards.
Like,
they don't believe in armor. Like they go out there almost basically in their underwear. Like they're basically in underwear and they're running around there. don't, I mean, they clearly know that armor's protecting them because it blocks that arrow in the head. Why are they not wearing full armor like the other, like the Persians are? Like, all Persians are dressed like in like suit of armor with like monster faces. Why do they refuse to wear armor?
I know. And I thought about that too. And like, why, again, with all this practice of shooting arrows, that's why they're so good. You never name a aim at the face. You would, no. The only spot that you cannot, you, first of all, it's skinnier than the rest of the body, and correct, it has something blocking it. And how about, yeah, to go back to your armor thing, you know, like when the Pope would go around, they put him in the Pope mobile. Like, why isn't King Darius, why is he just standing on a ship by himself with no bodyguard in front of him or nothing? He's just nothing, standing there, and he basically sees Therm pick up the arrow and shoot it, and somehow, through all the winds that are whipping the ocean,
that's everything, what I'm talking about. How far? And okay, and not to mention that the rest of the people, for the most part, are wearing armor. So why is the king? You would think the king of all people would be the most, you know, filled with armor, so protect them the most, right? And he's not. And he wouldn't be in the front. Like, he would be in the back. You would have a scout in the front. Like, you wouldn't need the king all the way in the front where he's open, you know, open for anyone to kill him. And clearly, you know, he does that. I mean, ridiculous. But yeah. And again, the aim. Okay. So even before he shoots that, here's another big question I have. And you see this in a lot of movies between, say, The Patriot, you know, Last Samurai, Gladiator, whatever. When they're going these big battles and everybody's swinging axes and swords, how do they never hit their own people?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's literally a battle royal. Like, I mean, it's not like there's like a wave of everybody just keep going. Like, everybody's swinging all over the place. How do you know, like, you see someone behind you, you quickly swing and you're like killing your second in command. Like, you know, like it's impossible to realize who you're fighting. Like, I would think if I'm in that situation, I'm just swinging all over the place. If you're in my way, you're going to get hit. I mean, really.
Hold out like the axe or the one that has a spike ball in the end. The mace, and just run around, like twirl around, and
or like at least so like or you say, all right guys, let's all wear yellow, like, you know, so it really stands out, and this is why we can see who's on our team, because once you start battling, everybody looks the same.
They're on ships, right?
Yes,
for the most part in this movie, all battles.
But in the beginning they're fighting on land, like,
looks
some of them
wet, muddy, it looks dark, so I don't know what the other guys are wearing, but they're blue. Blue gets sweaty and wet. It's like almost dark color, and I feel like it looks the same. Dark, so how would you know?
So I wonder, like, in Civil War, when they were in the Civil War, like, did we kill our own people by accident? I mean, like, it just, there's so much chaos surrounding you. You have to think that there's going to be a lot of like in this, like, people on your own team are going to get it by their own people. Like, it has to. Like, it's just too chaotic. All right.
But they wore different colors during the Civil War, but I bet it sometimes it'd be like, wait, what's their logo? Like, trying to see the logo on
their
hat.
They do wear different colors, but at the same time, like, think about it. Like, you don't know at what direction someone's coming at you, right? So you're gonna be on guard the whole time. So, like, I don't care if you're in the corner of your eye. I mean, you play laser tag. Like, you want to shoot your own people all the time. Like, yeah. I would be terrible in the military because I'd be shooting people that
you
kill
your
think
own
about
people.
Me. I'm getting nervous. Yeah, I mean, not on purpose. I'd just be too antsy.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I killed everybody in my platoon. They
you
stuck
scared
out.
Me.
They moved. Hey, Jamie, you want some coffee? Oh, sorry. You startled me. But we even skipped it, and it's in my notes. It's like the third note. There's boobs. In that first scene, there's like,
I know.
I guess a lot of like RAPE going on, because that we see that real quick, and then we go back to the battle. One thing I had to mention, did you notice? And again, I don't know if they did this back in this time, if all the outfits could be custom made to have like nipples, because Eva Green, every outfit she has in this movie has nipples on it, like leather, and the leather outfits all like nipples, and they're not her nipples. They're not that. They don't get that cold.
They probably have to make sure that they realize that she's a female, because, you know, when you're wearing all that stuff, you know, you want to make sure who's a male and female.
You don't want to grab the wrong one. You know,
well, doesn't
doesn't the battle.
Doesn't Batman have nipples in Batman
and Robin?
Yeah,
he does. Yeah.
So I mean, you know, maybe just part of the, you know, or maybe it's just really cold there.
Maybe it is. It's on the water. You know, it looks like it could be cold.
Right.
It was so funny because I thought it was like, oh, it's probably just the first outfit. And then we did the cut scene to the, because after we see her for the first time on the ship, then we do a cut scene to her talking to Darius' son. And this is where we're kind of getting this like big flash forward. So she's talking, I forget his name, but she convinces him, Xerxes, she convinces him to go with the homeless. They wrap him in gauze to go live with the homeless in a cave. So the homeless live in a cave that goes to the Fountain of Youth.
So anybody can go in there? So if anybody, so if anyone went in that cave, they'd come out looking like him, like that, like, which I have so many questions about that pool of water that he went in, you know, which
sewage.
Is, you know,
it's probably like from a nuclear, it's probably all the poop from the town.
Yeah, but that water that he goes into changes your looks and gives you S&M armor.
And piercing? Like, yeah, yeah.
I mean, he looks like, if he looks like he would be wearing a gimp outfit. Like, if he didn't have, if he took the gimp outfit off, that's what I pictured the gimp to look like.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
gold.
Like,
he was like Goldust, the wrestler from the 90s.
He was. He was like Goldust with like piercings and like chains all over his body, but he wasn't wearing clothes, but he was like wearing chains as clothes, like that was connected to his head, to his face. Like, yeah, I mean, but that's what the water makes you gives you that when you come out
golden. Yeah, it gives you piercing
because he goes in normal and he comes out looking like that. Like, I don't, so it, and it makes him a god. So if that made him a god, why doesn't everybody just jump in there?
Yeah, why doesn't the homeless people, like, really? They were right there. They were so close to being gods.
Yes. So, and or imagine, like, it only happens once, and all these homeless people are waiting around, like, oh, we could have been in there all this time. One of us could have been in, and we waited.
I told you not to pee in it, Frank.
But, like, there's no, I unless I missed it, was there any explanation of what that water was? All right, no. So, like, why he turns into a god, like, why other people don't go in there? Because if it does work for other people, they could, if you're talking about building like an army, like if they all went in there like that, because it also makes him grow like 5 feet taller than he was. Like,
yeah, but he doesn't do anything. He'd be like the final boss, you know, like something like that.
Well, he's in the first movie too. He's in the, but he doesn't do anything in the first movie either.
No.
Okay.
He's so, just a statue.
So that
he's
water,
like an Oscar. He's like an Oscar. He's a
yes. He is. I mean, and that water. So the water makes you lose your hair. It makes your voice deeper. It makes you grow another 3-4 feet. It makes you bronze, like changes the color of your skin, and then gives you S&M clothes. That sounds interesting.
Maybe okay. Michael Jackson tried to do one of those, but it did the opposite. Changes color. It changes appearance everywhere.
Maybe he has some of it at home. Or he had
under the wishing tree. Right.
Oh my gosh. I just wish there was an explanation for that. I really do. Like, you know, I mean, it just makes. So, okay. So his father was the one that had the spear thrown into him or the arrow, right?
I thought you were talking about Michael Jackson's dad. Wait, so Michael Jackson's dad had a spear thrown to his chest.
So, I have a question. So he was on the boat. He has the arrow thrown at him and he was wearing some kind of like plate or something. I thought, right?
Yeah, it was probably just like jewelry. Yeah.
So he's in bed with the arrow still in him. with nothing like pajamas or whatever he was wearing. So how did they get the armor off him? Because the arrow literally was still in him, and he was still alive until Eva Green took the arrow out of him and then basically killed him.
I know. Yeah.
Okay.
And like, that's how she convinces him to go. Xerxes go do that.
No, I know, but like, wouldn't you think, like, if you're in that situation? Like, maybe, like, cut the arrow, at least, like, so it's not, like, so sticking out. Like, you know, at least make it as small as possible. Maybe he could live a couple more days. Maybe he could live a little longer while sticking out. Like, he was clearly still alive. So, yeah, no, they just somehow were able to maneuver the armor off him without taking the arrow out. And then, okay.
And then she ruins the whole thing. These guys are moving and, like, pivoting a couch. going up to a stairwell in an apartment, and she comes in and goes, oh,
yeah, it
pulls the plug.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my God. Right. How about the next scene? The next scene was intense because she's doing the voiceover while he's going into the, like, so while he's going into the gold bath, we do like cutbacks, and she murdered all of his allies. So when he came back, he was alone. And that was crazy. She'd walk up, hey, how you doing? And she was just like killing everyone. And nobody else noticed that all the other people were dying. She's that quiet and quick.
And everybody seemed to be afraid of her, because even on the boat, she's on the boat with all these like warriors, and no one like, and she literally kills warriors right in front of them, you know, makes them, you know, throw, and no one like seems to like care, like, hey, you know what? That could be me. Like, I mean, I could be next, you know, like, let's like, you know, get a revolt going and like, just, you know, it's one woman. We can't throw her overboard. It's like 50 guys and like one person we can't overthrow. No, they just, they like bow down to her. Like they're afraid of her, but she comes across like a witch. Like she kind of looks like a witch in the movie. So I don't know if that's part of it. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Or why didn't she go into water? I think she is pale. I don't know why. I don't know why she didn't go in the water. You're right. That's true. Maybe she has like piercings or something, but no, she's super pale. So she gives all those vibes. And even her story, like that would be almost like to throw back to like Agnes's interview a few weeks ago. That'd be like the movie right there. You get a girl that's like battered and, you know, a terrible childhood. She gets trained by somebody, because that guy was like training her to like do like almost like MMA kind of fighting. And then they were doing swords. Like her story was like graphic. Like they basically tied her into the bottom of a ship in the slave quarters. And she was chained up and guys went down. The fact that we saw that was so graphic when the guy goes, hey there. And we saw him start to take his backpack, his satchel off. And then they cut away. I'm like, that's weird.
And she,
like,
and she was young. And she was young at the time.
Oh, she looked, like, you know, it was really creepy.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, like, so yeah, she, I mean, but I mean, again, they made her a warrior because, I mean, she was pretty badass at the end of the movie, you know, when she was fighting, you know, with two swords.
She's really badass. Yeah. She does a great job in this movie.
Yeah, no, she's good. You know what? To me, I think she was the most likable character. Like, I mean, like, because, I mean, really, like, none of the characters really stood out, you know. And I feel like, you know, she's the one that stood out the most. Even though she was bad, I felt like, you know, she was the best character in the movie.
Yeah. So one thing that did you notice that there was like kind of a weird word used a lot in this movie? Like a word that sticks out in your mind?
No.
So I'll play a clip. I only have one of the clips from later in the movie, but it happens during the next scene. It's when all the old guys in the robes are fighting, when they're trying to decide like what they're going to do, if they're going to fight again. And that's when like Thurm gives like his speech. But before that, one of the old guys shouts out, ah, shut your cock up. I'm like, and he says another thing, but then the queen has a line later in the movie. And this doesn't work. I'll make sure I add this in, but, It's pretty wild.
You've come a long way to stroke your cock whilst watching real men train.
That's like lot in this movie, that the line is, yeah, did you come here to stroke your cock to watch these men train? And you're like, but the fact that the old guy is like, shut your cock up. And I'm like,
maybe that was like, maybe that's something that, I mean, you know what? I would almost feel weird saying that to a guy, you know, like it doesn't go. I think I'd rather say your ass stinks.
Yeah. You know? Your ass stinks. No, it goes back to the guy who wrote this story down way, way, way back in the day when he added a couple zeros to the death toll. Maybe he really heard the guy say, shut your ass up or something. And he's like,
you know, I mean,
his ass is fine. Cock.
You have to think that they spoke like that. I mean, like, you know, I watched I forget what's the Western that was on HBO, Deadwood, and like the amount of cursing they do in that movie, like in that show, and like you wonder, like, I mean, like, think about it, like even back then with the Spartans, and a lot of drinking goes on, a lot of like partying, like, so you would think like they probably did curse like that. Just, you know, I don't know if they said it like that, but I'm sure they probably spoke like something like that.
Yeah, well, all those criminals, for the most part, like, criminals were the ones that were in those old West towns. So they were on the run. The people that were families, for the most part, and settled down. Like, even when you watch those old Western movies, there's not a lot of families in towns. It's usually, drifters, people alone, So yeah, all those foul mouth guys like in Oblivion 2, just living in that alien Western town.
Oh my gosh.
Just saying whatever they need to, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So let me ask you this. So these Spartans or the Greeks, both.
The Athenians. These are the blue guys.
Correct. So again, we talked about, you know, they're all in ridiculous shape. Now, back then, there were no supplements. There were no gyms to work out. Like, how do you think they all got, like, ripped like that, like, back then? I mean, again, all they ate was meat and, you know, like you know, like, it wasn't, you know, they, I don't know. Like, I mean, if this is accurate of, you know, even Vikings and all these guys that were, like, I wonder if, like, all of them were big like that. Like, how did they get that big? Are they, like, bench pressing, like, horses?
Like, you know, I'm surprised there's not a museum or a documentary on that, because that'd be great. Like, that would be the next fitness trend. Like, train like a Viking, and you're it's like all you do is, like, you bring the people to your house, and it's like, they used to pick up sticks and put them from that side of the yard to the other side of the yard, and then they do that over and over again. But I don't know, I guess, like, picking up boulders, like that guy that was on, like, those strongman competitions. Oh.
Okay, I assure you, if I picked up boulders and sticks, I wouldn't come close to looking like that. If that's all I did, you know, like, I mean, it just looks ridiculous, because they all look like they could be on steroids. You know, like, they're all huge and ripped, like, no body fat. So it's just funny. Like, you make you think, like, how did they get like that? Like, what did they do? You know,
the more, and same thing. Go back to the guy that drew. He had the artist draw the pictures, and it's like, all right, this way. Whoa, whoa, whoa! Why is his belly so big? Because his belly's big. Oh no! Rip him up. Give him a six pack. Get through another line. A little eight pack there. But no, you're right. Yeah. It's so funny. That's something that I'm serious. Even like hundreds of years ago, like during the 1800s, I've never seen it. I've like been to a museum, and they're like, oh, this is the first barbell. Like, what were they doing?
Well, you know, I mean, it's funny. And if that's the case, if they were big like that, then what happened that changed that? Because there were years where, like, think about the first Superman, right? Like, George Reeves. He wasn't a big guy. He was just, bulky. He was, like, fat, like, fluffy, right? So back then, that was big. So, Charles Bronson was, like, the big guy, like, tough guy. So what happened from, like, the Spartans of being, like, massive like that, that there's a time that everybody just started getting out of shape?
TV
fast
dinners.
Fast food. Fast food came.
And cable. Cable and okay. TV and on demand. And
okay. All right.
I got a little belly right here with me. So Thurm convinces everyone out of nowhere, which was so... He gave a nice speech, but everybody was so, like, vicious towards each other. Again, they're farmers. They're, you know, the blacksmith. They do jobs like that. Like, they're not doing jobs that are, you know, that they don't want to go to war. They don't have that experience like the Spartan army. So he convinces them, because he says, oh, I can get the Spartan army to help. Because he throws, like, that little hook. So then he visits the Spartan training vows. Training grounds. And I love his buddy, that the guy ends up being such a badass.
But was that where the guy was getting beat up? Is that the scene where the guy was, he came
no.
over?
No. Oh, yeah. No, that is when he's getting beat up.
The
train, wild.
The training. I mean, like, how is that train? Like, is, like, I wonder if, I mean, that's, it's almost like gang initiation. Like, you know, if like today's world, if you're going to join a gang, you know, you got to go in like a bull in a ring, and you just got to get your butt whipped.
Or cockfighting, whatever, you know, whatever one survives is the biggest.
I think your definition of cockfighting might be different than what it was back then.
Oh, you're right. That's the way they use that word in the movie. Right. But no, I think it was just that, like, oh, this guy's too weak, throw him out. Maybe he becomes a farmer. Maybe that's sort of how they did it. But no, it was like vicious. They kept beating that guy was already down. Okay, he's out. All right, he's out.
And they kept going. I mean, they're stomping on him. I'm like, there was like no, like, that's crazy. Yeah. I mean, I wonder if that's, I mean, I could see it, I guess, but does that really, like, make you a good warrior by showing you that you can get your ass kicked?
No, if anything, I'm showing those guys are probably kicked out. Like, the guys that lose are probably become farmers. Oh, yeah. And they probably, because it's the Spartan is,
wait,
like,
those guys that lose?
Army in the world.
How do you think you're going to win when you have 15 guys just stomping the crap out of you and they're all in ridiculous shape? I don't think anyone wins.
Yeah, no, it makes no sense because they're looking for the one guy that's like what Arnold Schwarzenegger in Commando that can like take out four guys at once, just like
or what's his name, James in American Ninja 2.
Yeah,
when you,
yeah.
When you hear the bowling pins and when he throws everybody,
good old Steve James. Yeah,
Steve James,
insane. Yeah, yeah, like yesterday, or the day before was 30 years ago. He passed. It's insane. He should have been that guy that was doing it until even now. He could still be doing stuff.
He definitely would have. And that's, you know, I think his last movie that I saw was I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. He played the guy.
Oh, well, that was 89, 90. No, he did American Engine 3, and then he did the one that we covered. That was his last movie he ever did. Blood Fist 5 was his last movie ever. He died like 3 months afterwards.
Wow. All right.
And he was the bad guy for once. That was a very rare bad guy role for him. So another thing in this movie that to go with the slow-mo of the era, also the dust flying in the air and the lens flare. Like they use the lens flare so much in this movie.
How about the fact that blood landed on the lens multiple times?
Yeah, that was pretty that was like wild.
But who leaves that in the movie? Like,
I don't know if that was by. I thought that was more of because this was the area of people doing the 3D movies too. So I was thinking they were doing not that this is 3D, but they were doing like a cheap like, hey, look at this cool effect.
Yeah, but it takes away from the movie. Like it's like
I noticed it too. I was like, that's weird.
And it happens like two or three times. So, it wasn't like, and again, like to me, it's like, all right, you know, when you don't see that and all you're seeing, like the camera is like zooms in, like, you know, you watch the battle in Braveheart. Like if you feel like you're there, like it's nuts. Here, when you start seeing like the blood on the lens, it's like, all right, they're making a movie. It's like, you know, and the fact that it's all CGI to begin with. And then you have this splotchy blood on the lens just looks so stupid. It looks, I thought it looked cheesy. Like it was like, oh, why are they doing this?
No, I know, but the only thing I thought of was like, oh, they're just trying to like get the audience to be like, hey, this is cool. It was just, it made no sense. Well, but those other things, the lens flare and the dust flying, from this point on, it was like so bad. I remember, man, why do they keep doing this?
Well, again, it's because the budget. I mean, I don't know what the budget was for this movie, but I'm assuming it's definitely not anything near whatever. You know, maybe the past movie, and it shows. So they had to do whatever special effects they can do to try to, you know, and that's what it is. I think they, you know, made it. I don't know. I think that's part of why it was hard to watch. I feel like it came across like a cheesy, like B movie. I felt with the special effects and everything else, and it kind of ruined it. I think it kind of ruined it for me.
Yeah, no, there were parts that, again, I'm not saying this movie was great, but there were some things that were really cool looking, like the visual effects on the water were really cool, which we'll get to those battles. But so at the end of the scene, the whole point of this was him trying to go say, so he can honor his word that he just basically lied to everyone. And the queen was basically, I have no interest. And
twice.
She told him,
he went to her twice and she said no twice.
Insane. But then the next scene, again, no, I don't think people know how badass how the hell even say her name? Artemisia? I should know how to say it. Eva Green. We'll go with Eva Green. So Eva Green. Yeah. So Eva Green in this movie.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think people at this point know how badass she is, like, which they should, because I don't know if she took credit for murdering all those guys, but when the one guy who they have like tied up, this is when he says, you're a whore from the Eastern Seas. And I wrote this down because this is such a trope with bad guys in so many movies, eating an apple with a knife or a sword.
It's supposed to make you look tough, I guess. You know,
they use it
but
so
like,
much. It is a trope that,
it is. They do it all the time. And it's like, and it's the way they're cutting it. It's like, that's like a real man. Like, I'm so tough that I'm going to eat an apple with a, like, I could, you know, like, I think you're tougher if you have like a steak and you're using the sword to cut the steak. You know, it's an apple. You know, I mean, it's like that crazy. You know, it's an
apple. It's usually one handed. That's the fancy part. They do like the one handed. They're holding it. They grab that.
Yep.
I don't know what I'm going to do with you.
See, I'd rather, like, to me, I think it's better to see him grab a whole, like, you know, T-bone and just eat it out of his hand. Like, that's tougher. You know, you're eating an apple. You know, like, an apple's not, like, a tough food. So it's not really that intimidating.
What's a tough food? You said a steak is a tough food?
Like a steak. If you have a full steak in your hands, no utensils, and you're just ripping it out of your mouth and ripping, that's tough. You know, an apple, eh. You know.
86-ouncer. Make sure you have all the grizzle. That one.
That'd be funny. It's just like dangling there. It's like, you know, dripping all over. It's all over. See, when you take a bite out of the steak, it's dripping all over your face. You might get messy. It's rare. You get the blood.
That's not that tough.
That's.
Oh, yes.
Oh, sure it is.
It might be tough.
You're like a barbarian.
Then you're, Sebastian, napkin.
Oh, listen, if you get a juicy apple, you're going to be messy. It's, you know.
No, apples are the bottom of the food chain. Okay. I'm trying to think what would be, like, consider a tough food.
Okay, and Shoot 'Em Up with Clive Owen. He's eating a carrot. He eats carrots. That's not tough either. Like, that's worse than an apple. I think if you're eating a carrot, it's definitely worse than an apple. Like, I don't know. I mean,
I don't think there's any tough foods. I think the whole, like, when it comes to, like, a rich villain, when they're eating, like, very fancy food, if they're eating, like, king crab, but still, that's messy. I don't know what a.
Yeah,
would
I don't
intimidate
know.
Me if I walked into a room and there
okay,
was
a turkey leg,
henchman,
a turkey leg.
Maybe.
You know, like, again, that's like a little bit more barbarianish. Yeah. But I would
then
say
he hits you with it.
See, there you go. Or he just starts biting on the bone. See, like there's options. Like a carrot.
See, that
like,
is. I think that's number one. Yeah, something with a bone like that isn't too messy. No sauce. No sauce.
Yeah.
Plain.
Oh no, you can't have sauce on it.
A little dry.
But
rub.
Apple is
like
just. It's too just. I don't know. Apple's a little wimpy.
It's so weird.
And I like apples, don't get me wrong, but it's not intimidating.
Oh, good. The apples are about to turn off the podcast. There's an apple driving, and then,
Oh, man.
We're getting it. Yeah. So from there, what she does is insane. She cuts a man's head off, and she kisses his head. And the head looks great. Like, I don't know if that's prosthetic or it's, like, CGI, but it looked really good.
But okay, so what was she trying to show there? That she's a pervert?
She's insane. She's a pervert, like, and she's insane. Like, this girl, we have to do whatever she says because she seemed really calm, and she flies off the handle so many times in this movie, and each time it's like they upped the previous one.
But see, now it would have been funnier if like you see a scene later on, and then you see the bed in her bedroom. Like the head in the bedroom, on the bed, just like she carries it around with her everywhere.
Like in Sharknado, the last Sharknado. They walk in, Miss Green, I'm sorry I interrupted you. How'd this get here? She's cuddling with it.
Oh my gosh.
She
or
has
just leave it on, like leave it on
she
her
has
belt.
It on a broom. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just I mean, again, like she's, and it wasn't like a peck. Like she made out with the deadhead.
She did. The deadhead. Yeah,
so that's just...
She was dating her grateful dead fan. But no, it was just so, I'm like, whoa, this is insane.
Yeah.
Like, no, she's crazy. She's really.
She is. Yeah.
And the next scene right from there is when she sniffs out. This scene was wild. Like this guy's badass. I really like this character in this movie. I forget his name. But the one that had the son. That joy.
Yeah. Yep.
When he gets sniffed out of being the spy and he admits and he kills everyone. And then, he just dives right into the water. And then you get, like you said, this is one point they're not good at the arrows because they shoot a million arrows.
Not one hit, but they can hit. First of all, the fact that the rest of the movie takes place in the ocean makes no sense to me. Like, you know, Greece is going there to attack the Persians. Why are they attacking on sea knowing they have all these boats that like the whole army? I would assume attacking on sea is very difficult to do. You know, the only other thing I could think of is like, all right, they're attacking one boat at a time and the other boats can't really shoot too much because they're going to hit their own people because you know, the boats are too, I don't know. I just don't know. Like what, isn't it better to sneak on land than go out there in the ocean? Like, I don't know. It
was
just
I think no
like,
matter what I wrote down, could you imagine if there was no guns or bombs or missiles or anything, there'd be so many people, like so many wars would be stopped in no time because it'd be like, oh yeah, we're gonna, you know, here it's like, oh, I gotta press a button, honey, I gotta go to the bathroom. You press a button, a bomb goes off, something like that. Back then, it's like, yeah. Oh shit, I gotta walk 17 days to go meet these guys at this tree that we're supposed to battle for. Ugh, and then they don't go.
Not to mention, they use their boats as a weapon.
Yes.
Right, but okay, but how do you know your boat's gonna survive? Like, what if your boat, you ram it, all of a sudden you're the boat is the one that starts sinking. You're like, oops, well that didn't work.
That happens. The whole front of one boat falls off, and all the guys fly off. And I'm like, well, you knew that was gonna, you wouldn't brace yourself. I know seatbelts weren't a concept, but like, hold on to the.
Oh yeah. Oh, then when they go flying, it's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, and they caused that.
Well, didn't they have the rope they were holding on to?
I'm sure there was something they were holding, but there were so many guys that flew. I'm like,
all right. No, there's a scene that they have the rope that they all grab, but it clearly doesn't work because they all go flying anyway.
Yeah.
But and they lost the boat. So, like, now what? Now, even if you survive the crash, okay, now you're floating in the middle of the ocean and, you know, like, surrounded by 75 boats. What do you do?
You're going to get hit. One boat is going to hit you in the head and you're going to die.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. and then right from this, he gets back, the traitor, and then we see his son, and his son wants the battle, and then the next day, because he goes, I'll talk to him. So
could they have made the son more wimpy looking? He was like, when he's talking, first of all, he's small, he's like a skinny dude, like he's like, you know, like it just like they could have made him a little bigger. I mean, he does do some battling later on, like, but yeah.
He looks like Lip Gallagher. I bet you Lip Gallagher auditioned for this. He has the same face as him, the same look. And I'm like, man, I bet you you're right. He is a whimper. Again, he's like a farmer. He's probably the kids weren't going to school too much back then. But like the fact that he was like, Thurm was like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to talk to your dad. And then the next morning he goes, okay, if you want to fight, go on my ship. I'll protect you. And it's like, the guy just said he doesn't want his son to battle, and then you're going to bring his son into the battle, like against
and Eva Green wants to kill you, so you're going to bring him on the one boat where you know it's going to get attacked.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
God. And then we have our first a Navy battle. This is a cool. Like, there are some things in this movie that are cool. Like, his speeches were, I thought they were pretty cool, but I love the fact that you get his speech and then you cut back to Eva Green and hers is like. She's like, I want you to destroy all of their ships. Like, she is like, she wants everyone dead. She doesn't hold anything back. She's a bad guy that would not protect people. Like, except in the scene right after this, she should have murdered him when she had the chance.
She has no loyalty. I mean, I would not want to be on her team because you don't know when she's so bat crazy that you don't know when she's going to just turn on you. But all that whole beginning about the brother and seeing him. He does absolutely, like, what's the point of that whole scene in the beginning? And he does nothing in this movie. He does absolutely, like, it was like a wasted character almost. Like, you know, we got his backstory of how he becomes that guy or the god, yet there's nothing else that goes with it. Like, it made no sense. Like, if you didn't have that whole scene and just had Eva Green as, like, avenging her father or whatever, the movie goes on.
Yeah,
like you didn't need that part. So like, I just don't understand why they even had it in there.
Yeah, there was no time that he helped or hurt her. Maybe it'd been good at one point. Like, she needs help, and then he doesn't really, like, it wasn't like she was asking for help. He just was like, I'm not going to help you. But it wasn't like she was in a situation like, hold my arm and then let her go because you basically killed my dad or you manipulated me and killed all the people I love. No, nothing. But she is badass because in this battle, again, it's so hard to describe these battles, especially the ones on the ships. They're obviously going back and forth. And then they win. Like, Athens somehow sort of upsets them because of a strategy of, like, going into the circle, like this whole weird thing. But you know my favorite part of this whole movie? And it's kind of like a running bit. It only happens twice, but I think it's so funny. So
Was it the slow motion rowing?
No, not the slow motion rowing.
Okay.
But no,
okay.
When she appoints a guy, so she's in charge, right? She appoints a guy minutes before the battle starts. Okay. what can he do? It's like if I appointed you as like a head coach of a team or like a GM of a team, like, hey, you're going to be the GM of the Giants on Sunday. You have no time to make impact. You have to like, even as a head coach, you can't implement strategy. Same thing with this guy. She appoints him and they lose and she kills him. Like she throws him into the ocean in seconds. And in my head, I'm like, he had no chance.
She did not waste any time. Well, yeah, but she clearly set him up. She must have not liked it for whatever reason. Yeah. And so, you know, if she's going to pick you to do something, you're pretty much not going to make it.
No, yeah, you know, and I love the one guy was kind of going against her in right after this. Yeah. Like, oh, we should have done this. We should have done that. And then he was like talking shit to her. And then within seconds, she's like, I want you to lead the Navy into the next battle. And he's like, oh, we will win. And she's like, I want to win tonight. He's like, oh, we will. And I'm like, you just saw what happened. Something you have no control over. It's not like you're going to be, hey, ship 14, we got to go after ship 27 on their side. There's nothing. You're just watching it. It's like electric football. No skill.
And again, you see this in movies all the time. You have that one leader who will kill one of their own warriors, and you're surrounded by all these people. Why are they not revolting? Like, they have to be saying, that could be me next. I mean, she points me like, so why do they take the orders from her and continue to do that? Like, it makes no sense. And again, this happens all the time. Like, no one ever goes against the captain.
Yeah.
Like, they're afraid.
I think the sick thing is, I think no matter what, everybody wants to do that. So then if four of them get together and then they have to decide who's going to be the new one, and then once they're like, hey, you know what? Let's draw straws. The one guy who wins. Oh, yeah, I'm it. And then like a week later, it's like, he sucks. Let's kill him. And then it's three guys doing the same thing. So, they could have easily done that.
Or I'm thinking like they're like, they're all discussing it, but no one believes that anyone's really going to do it. So then when the one guy goes, all right, charge. And like everybody else behind and the one guy runs forward and he's the one that gets killed.
And yeah, like, he gets caught.
Good thing we did.
Yeah. Stabbed. So there's probably
So there's probably no trust there. That's why like they're afraid. Like, it's like the prison escape, right? You know, everybody has that idea, but who's really going to do it? You know?
Yeah.
So.
I do like when the guy's doing the report again, how quick can they get this information without cameras or microphone or something? He's like, I think we've lost, because he goes to the numbers and he's like 15 ships fully destroyed, 25 this and
how many
in total, and she's like, and he's like 75 lost ships. I'm like,
how
do you replenish that?
Yeah, it's well, how do you know though? But how do you know?
I know.
Is there someone like keeping track? Like, like his job is only to keep track what's going on somehow, and that's it. Like, it's ridiculous.
He's a counter. He's looking in like a big old telescope, and he's like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, that one moves. 1, 2, 3, 4. Which is so silly.
So let me ask you this. So back to the rowing that I was talking about before. So they had a guy that was whipping the rowers. And again, you see this in movies as well. Wouldn't that weaken your rowers? Like,
yes.
if you're constantly getting whipped, like I would think that would do the complete opposite. Like it's only going to slow you down because people can start getting hurt. They're not going to be able to row. They're in pain. So how is that helping? That's not motivating.
Yeah, I think the only way they should, I think that's, there's no way in hell that that's what they ever did. I'm sure they did. Maybe when somebody stopped doing it, they whip them and then the people keep going. And then
make an example of them.
Whip. Yeah.
Right. So I think, okay, you take the one person that's slowing everybody down and then whip him alone. So everybody watches and they're like, all right, we better haul ass because I don't want to be next. Fine. But if you're whipping them as they're rowing, I can't see that being motivating.
Yeah. 100%. Okay. Insane. Okay. They're just in the insanity of thinking like, hey, I'm going to hit this person who's, I want him to go on top speed. And as soon as you hit him, he's going to buck. And then he's not going to, slow them down.
They're probably thinking it works for a horse, so why not work for rowers?
Nay.
Oh, man. And speaking of horses, by the way, that might have been the dumbest. Like I there's a lot of things that are dumb in this movie, but to bring a horse on a boat and ride it, I mean, like, doesn't that kind of, I always feel like that makes you a easy target. I know you're going to trample on some people, but like, you are like, they all have bows and arrows. I mean, you are higher than everybody else, but like you're riding a horse from one end of the ship to the other.
Yeah.
And then you jump into water with the horse.
It's so ridiculous.
So, why would you bring a horse on the ship with you? Like, it makes no sense for a battle. It's so dumb.
Oh my God. But the next scene is one we have alluded to a few times already. The not infamous, but because we're talking about it so much, when they jump off the cliff onto the ship, onto Eva Green's ship.
It was a high cliff. This was not a low cliff. It was ridiculous. Yeah. You got broken legs landing. So, yeah. Okay.
Oh my God. And then what's his name? He's like a WF wrestler in the scene, Therm, because he's so badass. He is like he sees like the bigger guy far away. That's like, I guess, like sort of like in this scene, like the main bad guy. He's like going through boom, boom, one on one, like taking all these guys out. Then the last guy, he's like kind of having like a little battle with for a second. And then he chops the guy's arm off and his leg off. Like, whoa. And he split him down the middle. It was insane. Yeah. It was insane.
No, he hits him right in the middle of the head.
In the head split.
Yeah, he sliced him. Oh. Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, you know, it reminded me the one part, because he not only chops his arm off, he chops his leg off too, I think.
Yeah, he turns him into a mat.
Because it reminded me of Holy Grail when he chops his arms off, his leg. And I'm like thinking, because the guy was hopping for a second because he had one leg and one arm. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, it was kind of like so silly. And then here's the most ridiculous part of the movie. And I don't know if this has ever happened. I don't know how this can happen. I know, obviously, in war, you want something from a war. So even nowadays, it's like two countries will talk on the phone or meet, and they'll be like, here's what we want. What do you want? Go back and forth. But the fact that this all happened, the Athens army, who's like, you know, a rag'em tag'em bunch of farmers, took out 75 ships of the Persian army. So Eva Green, there's one ship close to them, right? And a little like dinghy boat comes out, and the guy walks up and is like, you know, Artemisia would like to meet with you. And it's like, I'd be like, why would I do that? I would be like, let me send the lowest guy in the totem pole.
He can
go over the information. No, let's send the guy that's basically like the hero of our team, the best player. You know, let's do that all by himself.
Well, that's the thing. Like, and again, it comes later on also is like, and again, you've seen these movies. How do you trust who's going to shoot? Or who's going to stab or what? It's like, you know, like Face Off when they have the guns to each other's heads.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be in that situation because it's like you're waiting for the first punch before you can throw a punch. How do you know then it's not going to, you know, she's not going to stab him in 2 seconds? Yeah. Like, and even at the end of the movie, they both have their swords to each other. Like, what are you waiting for? Like, because all it takes is one person to do the move and it's over. Yeah. You know, it's like so much, and it happens all the time. Like, I would never trust anybody. Like, this whole time they're trying to kill me, but now it's okay. Now that I know they're not going to touch me when I go there.
It's like that weird Batman and Joker dynamic that they talk about in The Dark Knight. Like, they could kill each other, but they need the other person. That's what their conversation at the end of the movie was for a second. You know, she's like, we're the same.
Well, but they are also sort of lovers, aren't they? Or like, I mean, like, I was that a one-time thing?
I don't know what that was because
was that a dream? Because
he did wake up all battered on the
beach,
right? Yeah. No, it seemed like it could have been, but the best was like you said, I'd be so cautious. Like, I wouldn't
of course,
I'd be looking behind me. I wouldn't I'd make sure she doesn't have any weapons. But she gives him wine, and for a second, I thought he was gonna drink it. I'm like, are you gonna drink this right now?
How do you know it's not poisoned? I mean, like, 100%. That's
God, but they're like, within seconds she wants to have sex, like she's all over him, and then they're doing.
Well, all she's had is a head for the last, you know, like how long? So I mean, you know, she's kind of desperate at this point.
Can you imagine that scene? Like, he wakes up in the morning, like, and the head's in the bed, and she's like, "Sorry, we got a little crazy last night." But it was just so ridiculous because
you said you wanted a little head.
Oh, that's great. But the fact that like they're like having sex, okay, and then they start fighting.
I was gonna say, like, is that and they were turned on by it, like they seemed excited by it. It was like violent fighting. Like, like at any point it looked like one could stab the other. Like that's how it, like, it got, like, and they seemed to like it. Like it,
he's
that was
choking
weird.
Her. Like choking her. I'm like, oh, he's choking her. Like, cause that's what they're into. It's like, oh no, he's like choking her to hurt her. And then they're fighting. And you know what? That was so funny. Cause the other guys who are like her main guards, I guess that are like the ones that are loyal to her. Those people that wear like those funky metal masks. I'm like, they're listening to this. They're sitting there and hearing like grunts and things slamming all over. And like, they're probably just like, oh, she's getting on again. You couldn't imagine, like, another sex fight.
Well, you know, the worst part, I thought, was that she gets him arrested or grabbed by the people, but she didn't let him get changed. He's still naked. Like, they grabbed him with no clothes on. Although, I think he had, like, his helmet covering himself or something.
Yeah, he was covering himself with his helmet. Trojan man. Right? Look at that. That fits. That's how they figured that. That's how they got the name of the
brand.
That's it.
See?
One thing you never get in movies, and maybe because this is totally different, but like you had like doggy style they showed and her boobs. And I'm like, this is like weird. This is like Skinamax-esque. Like this is like bizarre to have that graphic of a scene in a movie like that. I'm okay. Of course, it was pretty. It was awesome. It was fine. Yeah.
I was gonna say this movie I feel like it needed it because during this time, you know, like you would think this is what probably happens, right? You know, and the fact that all you see is what, hundreds of men with no shirt on fighting. So you needed a little girl, you know, something. Why not? I mean, you have guys with no shirt on. You might as well have a girl with no shirt on.
Yeah. Equal opportunity.
Yeah, even the odds. Yeah. One girl with no shirt on equals 100 guys with no shirt on.
Yeah, there's no other women in this movie. It's her.
No.
The girl we saw in the first scene in the Queen. And how about the reason why she wants to kill him and then calls for the guards was because she asked to join him while they were in the middle of doing it. And correct. He told her no. And it was like the third time he said no. And then she was going to chop his head off. Like she was like in seconds going to do it. And that's when the guards come in, go in, take him out.
So they took him out naked, but he had his clothes on later on.
They put his clothes on.
Okay.
He didn't drink the wine. It would make sense if he drank the wine, but he didn't drink the wine, so he just fell asleep. Or they beat him up that bad. He was jacked up the next day. That's true. He was all he was all bloody. Yeah.
But they just left him on the ocean, on the beach.
Yeah, I guess so. Because he woke up on the beach. Because then he walked up. Right. Like, you had a night. Yeah.
But why would they do that? Like, it's just so weird. Because again, you're giving him a chance to go back and kill her.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, it's like all these, the tropes in all these movies. Why do the bad guys always leave that one guy? Like you said, maybe it's the Batman Joker thing that, you know, it's more fun having someone that I can battle with. You know?
Yeah. I think I've mentioned this before when we've talked about this conversation, but there's a Seth MacFarlane. It's called The Cavalcade of Comedy. It was a DVD that came out probably in the 2000s, like maybe when Family Guy was off of the air for those 2 years. But on it, they did a Wile E. Coyote Roadrunner sketch, and he caught him like in the first minute. It's like a 5-minute thing. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
And he's like depressed. Well, he catches it, he eats it, and then he's hanging out with his buddies.
Yeah,
and he's just depressed looking at the skull on his mantle.
Yeah.
Because that's what he lives for. Like, that's his life. So maybe for you know, the Joker, Batman, you know, they wouldn't have, you know, they need each other.
You know, it's funny. I just saw the Dark Knight the other day. And I mean, the way he says, you're too much fun or something like that. He says that to Batman, like, you know, I need you. I'm not trying to kill you. I need you, you know. So, yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously it backfires later on. So, I mean, it's not a good plan.
No, it's not a good plan. One thing that was really cool, and I wonder if this is historically accurate. I got to Google it and do some research. But how about when she asked for her personal guards to go in and they have like those leather backpacks and they start swimming? I no joke, in my head, I'm like, oh, those must be bombs. Like my brain just said bombs. Like I'm thinking, oh, they're going to light themselves on fire. And obviously it changes in a few seconds. It's really, the scene's pretty quick. But how about like Eva Green? They're so close to them.
Yep.
Eva Green is able to fire that arrow and shoot the spy right in his heart in front of his kid, man.
She hits him multiple times.
Yeah.
And again, like, how far away is she that she's able to aim? And again, if like you said, you're on the water, you got to think there's wind velocity and all that stuff. Like, there's no way you're going to be able to shoot an arrow. Okay. You're lucky if it hits him once. She hits him like 3-4 times. So yeah, the fact that she has that good of an aim, like, it just crazy. And again, it goes along with everybody else. I also, like, how do you get chosen? Like, and you see this with movies with castles, you know, the guys that climb the castles, you know, with the ladders, and, you know, the guys in the boats that are swimming, they're climbing the side of the boat. I don't want to be that guy, because no, they're clearly like, you're an open target. They're waiting for you. You know, like when you climb the castle, they're throwing the hot oil on you, you know, as you're climbing, like, you know, you're not making it. So how do they pick who goes and does that? And like, who wants that job?
The craziest, you know, and the worst people. I would say you have to put your worst people in that job, because most of the time they're going to get swords to the head while they're climbing
up. Of course.
You know,
the first few will, and then there might be that one guy that is able to maneuver his way on there and then distract everybody. But the first few are goners, without a doubt.
Yeah. But then this guy's dying and he goes to his kid. He goes, fight on, boy, fight on. And then we get, dude, how about this was the first thing in the movie that was, again, not a lot of it's believable, like the sword. You know, I guess people could be that good with a sword, but when you had those giants...
Oh my gosh.
Was kind of like Mountain from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Throwing like giant fireballs in the sky.
Ooh, he had like a hammer. He had a flaming hammer. Like, mm-hmm. it ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, so stupid. Like,
that,
okay,
sort of like jumped the shark. Because not saying this other stuff was like historically accurate, but I could plausibly in my head say, yeah, that could happen. This could happen. But this can, this isn't a thing.
Okay. First of all, you assume that hammer is super heavy. And how far is he really going to throw it?
Oh yeah,
you know, and you're on a boat that's probably rocking a little bit. Like, there's no way. Imagine like so heavy that, you know, when it lands on the wooden ship, it's going to go right through the floor. Like, what if he doesn't like throw? Like, he slips and like his own ship can get the hammer
hits
right
Eva
through
Green
the floor
in the head.
Yeah.
But again, another great arrow, right? Right? Wasn't an arrow another it was an arrow. Term it's arrow a, yep. that. Went yep. even farther than the one that killed Darius yep. in the opening scene and shoots him. And then the guy basically, because he shot him at the right time that he was in mid spin for the throw, and then he had to drop the rock, and then he basically burns himself. Like, that was it.
Yeah. No, it was, you know, I wanted a little bit more from those guys, because they were so different than all the other ones, you know? Yeah. So like, I wanted to see a little bit more, but yeah, no, it's, you know, the weird thing about this battle was was that the oil or whatever is that was leaking from the ship, or was like, or the gasoline, or was that blew up later on.
No, what blew up was those kamikaze guys. They had the leather backpacks.
The water was filled with that oil that was coming out of the ship or something.
Oh, I don't remember what was coming out of the ship, but I know those guys had explosives and gasoline in their bags. So when Eva Green did the flaming arrow shot him, and you saw it go into him, because the guy saw him climb up, Therm saw him climb up, and he like walked towards him, and he's like, off the ship, as soon as it hit the arrow hit. And then everybody jumped, and then obviously most of them didn't make it, because the whole beach was bloody, except him and his buddy, who he's known his whole life. He's like, we're farmers, man. We're just farmers. We shouldn't be doing this.
Crazy.
Oh my God, man. That was insane. But then we get the Hunchback. We meet the Hunchback, who works for the, you know, Cersei's,
so weird.
The gold,
but so weird. It was like, what was the point of making him a Hunchback? First of all, the tall guys,
the big guys, were like the things in this movie. Obviously, him turning into gold and getting piercings in water is pretty ridiculous. But these are the three most ridiculous things.
I could see the tall guys more than the Hunchback. I mean, he was a monster. I mean, he literally looked like Gollum. Like, his face was Gollum. But like he looked like a turtle. Like, you know, he had like the big, I mean, like, it wasn't just a Hunchback. It was like, he looked like a Ninja Turtle that would, like, if you took a shell off the turtle, that's what he looked like.
Yeah. I really kind of look like Sloth too, from the Goonies. He had such a creature looking face.
He did.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because so weird. And then they use Sloth to get information because they send Sloth to Therm.
Correct.
So Therm, after he talks to Sloth, he goes to visit the Queen. And this is like this is the second time the Queen says no. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And then, like, does anything really happen with the Sloth? Hunchback? No, nothing.
He's out of the movie after this.
So then what's the point of making him a hunchback and looking like that? Like, it could have been a regular person. It could have been like an older person who's not a warrior to be like, you know, that sneaky guy that just, you know, you send as your messenger. That would work. To make him look like that, it just, like, again, it becomes silly. Like, it was just a silly character to have in this movie.
Yeah, it's so silly. And he was basically like, it was like he was working for the gold guy, Xerxes. And then he was working for Therm and the Athenians, because when he goes back, he brings the message back to Xerxes in Artemisia and lets him know all the information. I think it was like how many ships they have, how many guys, like what their plan is going to be. And then he goes, oh yeah, Thermiculius is alive. And she's like, what? He's like, I saw him with my own two eyes. And that's when she's like super pissed off and she wants to go like murder everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
At this point.
Do you think that the hunchback should even be speaking English? Like he looks so much like a monster that he should be grunting. Like there shouldn't be any words that come out of his mouth.
He should sound like he's gargling marbles. Like there's no way. Yeah, you're right. No words should be coming. And be like, okay, take this note to the people over on the other side of the mountain. That's it. That's all that guy should do.
Yeah,
there's no way anybody took the time to be like, hey, we're gonna teach you how to read and write, bud.
Especially coming from that side, like, you know, they're not teaching him anything. It's just he was the last guy that got beat up during a training.
Yeah, that was <That's> true. Yeah, he got his ass kicked so bad they shifted his spine, changed his free range of space, which could make sense, you know, how brutal they were destroying everyone.
Yeah
But so then they go into it. Somehow he convinces Therm, convinces them again, even though so many people died. Hey, we're gonna do this. You know, maybe they're gonna help, because that was what he kept saying. Like, oh, Sparta, maybe they're gonna send people in. She said no. You know, 2-3 times.
Doesn't he also say something like, "We're probably not coming back from this"?
Yeah.
It makes it so. Like, who's volunteering for that at this point? Because I'm not sure even they know why they're fighting. You know, so like, you know, like, okay, listen, we're gonna be outnumbered by a lot of ships again. There's gonna be, you know, we barely made it out, you know, made it out alive this last one. This time, we're probably not coming back. Then why are we even fighting? Like, what's the point of it? Like, let's just go home.
They never said anything why. All they basically said was obviously Persia wanted to take over Greece, but it was like, I don't know, wouldn't Sparta have helped earlier if that was really the case? What do they think? Persia would like take over all of the country? Oh, we'll leave you your part. You guys are good. No.
This would have been better if it was the Romans, because the queen wants revenge on her husband that died from the Persians. This storyline would have been better. And now you have a reason why they're fighting. Here, like, I just don't, again, I don't understand you already saw, in the first movie, you already saw the odds, right? You know, it was 300 versus how many? And you know what? They almost beat the odds, but they didn't. You're going to try to do the same thing in the second movie with Greece? Yeah. You know, like, it makes no sense. Like, I think a revenge factor would have been a better way to look at it.
Yeah, they made like a bunch of sequels after this, and it was like, 300, and they never make it. Never. It's really just the story. 300 people die.
Every time.
People die underneath. So okay. I did like the makeup. It was pretty badass. It was very, I wonder if Zack Snyder wrote and produced this movie. I wonder if he was like a fan of like Cobra Kai or Karate Kid. Because they had like that skull makeup from the Halloween party.
But what was the point of that though? Just battle
yeah, just
paint?
Battle like stuff, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. They did look like the Cobra Kai. I was trying to figure out what they, I mean, I've seen like these tribes, you see like the movies with the, when they have the tribe, the cannibals, they usually paint their face like that. But I just didn't, like, it again, but that didn't fit. Like, it doesn't fit the, the spirit of what the movie was. Like, it just didn't make sense that they would do that.
Yeah, and especially at this point, there was such a heartfelt moment. It was kind of silly to have him in makeup when you had this moment, because he said, that's when Thurm said, oh, your father's last words were that you deserve to have a seat at the table. And that was like pretty emotional, but you look over, it's like if he was like dressed as a clown.
Halloween, yeah. And why for this battle, but not the other battles?
Explained that a few minutes ago, and it makes sense now. They were basically talking about they're going to go in and most likely die.
So they're not going to come back. So you might as well die with like makeup on, look like, you know. Listen, if we're going to die, we might as well just do it. They each have like a different face, like a different makeup face. Yeah. This is how I want to go out.
Yeah. But yeah, so then we get to this battle. This is where Artemisia, she's like super jealous and she wants to get in on the action because she's watching and she's like almost like tapping her feet or tapping her fingers. It's like she's bored. And then she gets in there. God, she kills so many people. She splits a guy's head in half. She is just insane. Really, it's insane.
Yeah.
Like what she does. And I love the setup of them battling because they're both battling on opposite sides of the ship. Then they lock eyes.
I was going to say, you know, it's coming. Yep.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. But see, now this is the scene where it's like, all right, they have a good battle back and forth once they get to each other. But then there's a few points where, like, again, he's got his sword in her neck, her sword to his neck. How do you know? And they're like in a stalemate. It's like the John Woo stalemate that happens in like a lot of his movies.
Yeah.
But how do you know? Like at what point, like, do you know, like they, I could trust her that she's not going to slit my throat right now.
I know. Like you have to just like, again, it's so weird. And then you had a line that I never thought I've ever heard in a movie. Because most of the time in movies, you never get like, you know, man versus woman fight scenes. But when she says, you fight much harder than you fuck. That should have been the line that made him like slit her throat. That's not nice.
That's not nice.
That was a very awkward night for me. I haven't slept in days thinking about like what we did, and you're gonna bring it up right now. Or
I had a battle beforehand. I mean, I'm tired. So
the moon was so. Oh, I didn't mention that. How large was the moon that night? The moon's never that large. It was like it took up the whole screen in the one part. Yeah. I'm like.
You didn't also talk about the eels, the massive eels that were in the movie swimming around, which did they serve any purpose at all?
Now, were they real? Like that was another element that was fiction. Like a lot of this movie you could believe, but the fact that you're right, the giant eels with like the when long, coming off of them. Yeah.
But nothing came out of that. Like the boat exploded. I mean, I know we're going backwards. The boat exploded. They're again, slow motion drowning in the water. The eels are swimming by and nothing else happens with them. Like they don't come into play later.
The eels like ate two people and then the next fade to black. And then we went to seeing all the people dead on the beach. But you're right. That would have been good in the final scene to get one of those, come back, do a little Beetlejuice action.
And eat her.
Like the sandworm. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yes, see, that would have been good. Like, either come through the boat or come on top of the boat and grab her. Fine. Otherwise, yes, they ate two people in the ocean, but that's it. Like, it didn't come into play. Like, they didn't need to have them. Like, they were drowning anyway, so half those people were not going to make it. So to bring monster eels in, again, served no purpose at all.
And did they bring them in? Or they just happened to be there?
No, they were just, bring them in. They were swimming in the ocean. They were in the middle of the ocean.
I don't know if the Persians had them on like a leash under the ship. And, okay, guys, go, come on, go play.
No, I think they were part of the ocean. I don't think the Persians had them.
Imagine if that was in the ocean.
Oh, my
God. I'd never go in the ocean.
I would never go in the ocean.
I don't even want to go in the ocean now.
I don't like small eels. Okay, so yeah. If I saw a small eel, I'm not going in the ocean if it's near me, let alone ones that look like a monster like that. No way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Frightening. And then this is right at this point, the queen shows up, her navy's ready to go, and then all in Greece combined, they surround the Persian navy. And again, he's useless in this whole movie. The gold bald god.
Yeah,
he's just sitting there watching.
That's it. Like, okay, he's a god who's like, again, a big guy. Why is he not fighting with them? You have Eva Green, who's attacking and doing. Why is he not helping?
He's a pacifist, maybe. I don't know. He just watches the whole movie.
Okay.
Even in the opening scene, he wasn't out there battling. He was in the back of the ship when his dad got shot. So he wasn't even near the battle. Like, he wasn't even watching the battle. He was like in the back of the ship.
Correct.
How about Eva Green, the way she goes? Because again, he was going to let her go. This murdering woman that could, like, she basically went from a peasant getting, RAP'd on the bottom of ship. She gets out of that situation. She, like, learns to be this epic fighter. She becomes number one in an army. The king dies.
Did she see the boats coming in? Did she see the Roman boats coming in? I think she saw them, right? She saw them coming.
She did, but he was, like, going to let her go.
No, I know, but
she was going to let her go.
Yeah, but she realized, listen, it's over. I mean, the amount of boats that came in, she's like, all right, it's done. So let me try to grab this sword before, which she really, you saw her looking at that sword a few times, or the knife on the floor a few times, like he was going to let her grab it. So, I mean, I think she just decided, I might as well go now, because who knows what they're going to do to me if they get me.
Yeah, yeah, that's another thing in so many movies, is like, don't grab that gun. If you grab that gun, I have to shoot you. It was like that same thing, but it's
and everybody takes that chance. Everybody takes that chance, even though I would say 9.5 out of 10 times it never works.
Yeah, oh, man, what a rough.
So the queen gets there. Why again? Just like the the king before. Why is she? I mean, she's clearly a badass, but she's putting her life on the line. She's like she's literally the first one that jumps on a boat, I think, and starts like fighting. So,
She's like, she's like bored. She looks like she's watching everybody else fight. She's like, screw it.
But why though? Like she, I mean, like again, she's the queen. Like she could die, Okay.
Insane. Yeah. No, the queen's badass. No, there was a lot of, and then from here, we cut to the credits so quick, and we get
so
Black
fast.
Sabbath War Pigs playing really loud, cutting back to action for a little bit, and then mostly credits the rest of the way.
Clearly there's a huge battle going to happen right now, like right before the credits happen, because the queen just gets there. All she did was go to one boat, so there's still all these boats around her, and nothing about the brother. Nothing like says like, what happens to him. At least give us some like words. Like sometimes they'll, like how they do like in Fast Times. They say, this guy went here. This way. It's like, hey.
I love that you chose the Fast Times. Or the end of Animal House. I always think of the end of Animal House. A good one.
Animal House. Right. So you could say like, yes, the God King ruled for the next 20 years or whatever. Like just something. Give us something. No, it literally ends right before a battle. Like, okay.
So-and-so invented the post-it note. Like, I Blukowski, he became senator. That was his thing.
That's the best. Yeah.
Oh, and then he didn't. And then, one of the people in that, didn't they join the army? And then they got shot by their own people. Oh, yeah.
Niedermeyer. Niedermeyer,
no, yeah. He went to Vietnam. He got shot by his own people.
Yeah.
Oh, so man. Funny. So that was... 300 Rise of the Empire, whatever it's called. Jamie, would you? This is a perfect movie to do for our 300th. Again, it wasn't easiest to talk about, but it was the only way to go. There wasn't any bowling sequels for us. So, would you recommend anybody check this one out?
I would not. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's entertaining enough to watch. Watch the first one again. I would just watch the first one again. Watching this makes me want to watch the first one again and see how slow motion should work and not in this movie. I really, there's no sense. Like I said, there was good action, some scenes and like, it literally was a torture to get through. And I had a hard time getting through this movie. So I would say no.
Yeah. No, it's a shame for the main guy, because he wasn't in much after this. So maybe it was a better script or the better way the movie was put together. Overall, looks wise, he could have maybe became an action star, because I thought he's pretty good. And I was surprised when I looked at the IMDb, he wasn't in more after this. Same with Eva Green. I know I've seen her and stuff after this year, but I'm shocked that she didn't do like a full action movie. She was in a Bond, right? Wasn't she newer Bond movies?
I don't know much about her, but I always hear of her. I've heard her name so many times. I do. I know all about her. So, but I mean, I know
Casino
I've heard her name.
Yeah, she was in Casino Royale in 2006.
Okay. She was in
Penny Dreadful.
In a bunch of stuff. Yeah, she was in a bunch of stuff. I just didn't know what. I just, you notice she, her looks like don't stand out. Like, I mean, like she looks like I, if I've seen her so many times, I forgot that because she looks very like she looks like a Jennifer Love Hewitt. Like Jennifer Love Hewitt had that like girl next door kind of look. So does Eva Green, right? She doesn't like, you know, like, so I feel like I've probably seen her so many times and not realized it. So yeah.
She's not in a lot. First big movie was Kingdom of Heaven, and then she was in
that's what
Casino
the
Royale.
Guy from Pirates, I think. Kingdom Heaven, right? The
Jude Law, right?
What's his name? No, was it? No, it's the guy that's married to Katy Perry.
Oh yeah, what is that guy?
Orlando Bloom.
Yeah, so she wasn't in much, and it was shocking because she was really badass in this movie. I'm surprised she wasn't in an action movie right after this. She was in Dumbo. I never even saw that. Jesus.
I did. Yeah.
But yeah, so that was 300. Next week, finish the year off right. We've been doing this the last, we didn't do it every year, but definitely in the last 2 or 3 years, me and Jamie will do a little look back. The timing of it being 300 is perfect too. So we'll talk about a little bit of not all the 300 episodes, but mostly 95% of it is going to be talking about, you know, the year in review, looking back at sort of an odd year for us because of the writer's strike and the actor's strike. So we did more sequels. So we'll look back on some of the, you know, highlights from some of the interviews. We'll do our Mount Rushmore of, you know, best sequels, best characters, worst sequels, whatever else we can come up with. And it'll be a lot of fun to look back at this year because it started off with a bang, really. Started off with a Lethal Weapon 3 at the beginning of the year. And some amazing interviews and a lot of fun stuff. So, yeah. And one thing we're going to have to talk about, too, that I'll have to drive Jamie crazy with is this.
Oh, my gosh.
We're going to have to talk about that. I'm going to play this while we're playing this out. So, I don't know if I can turn this down. Oh, I can. Perfect. So, don't forget to review, rate, share our podcast. Follow us on all social media at Sequels Only. And don't forget to check out our website, sequelsonly.com. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, guys.